The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback. Two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Okay.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please. Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all here. We're fired up.
I am. Have you seen those ridiculous new Pro Bowl logo, uniforms?
No.
They're fluorescent green and like fluorescent orange.
All right, good.
You're okay with that?
Well, we'll talk about that later.
I thought you wanted me to
defer. I don't care about Pro Bowl uniforms. I care about the New England Patriots.
Yeah, because we won't have any Patriots wearing them.
Okay, so is this going to be 2 hours of just ripping on the Patriots?
All depends on what you do.
Just, you know.
And it all depends on what emails you read, because I'm reading all the emails from AskPFW that say, I'm starting to think Brady's the problem, not the solution.
Right.
There's a lot of those.
There are a lot of those. And there are a lot of angry fans out there as a result of a 13-6 loss. The hands of the Bengals, who did their best to hand this game to the Patriots, and the Patriots couldn't take advantage.
That's the worst part about the whole thing, is I can live with a bad performance when the other team makes you play bad, and you know, like those Pittsburgh games, regular season games, a couple times in Pittsburgh. We didn't show up, and they played great. This was, you know, the Bengals definitely played better and deserved to win, but they didn't play well.
Was this,
you know,
somebody
like you
said
they tried to hand it to us.
Uglier than the Jets game. I don't feel that way, but
I didn't think it was uglier than the Jets.
I think it's bad that in 5 weeks, two of the ugliest games you can remember have occurred.
Unless you want to say that Geno Smith contributed to the ugliness, and overall it was uglier because of all the interceptions that the Jets threw.
Well, the Jets game was the ugliest game I've ever personally watched. Both teams dropping the ball, ineptitude on both sides.
I agree.
Was the ugliest game I've ever watched.
I agree.
This didn't reach that level to me. This was a gritty dogfight that the other team did give you plenty of opportunities to win it, but this was pretty ugly too.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk about that. The Patriots dropping to 4-1. Against the Falcons.
That's the good news, too. You lay a stink bomb and everybody's all up in arms, but you're still 4-1.
You're still a game up in the division.
And Miami lost, so you're still a game up.
We'll dissect and analyze that game. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Andy, Paul, Fred, Kevin in the booth. Is Squidward around?
Haven't seen him.
No, he hasn't come in on Tuesdays.
Okay. No Eric.
Come in on Mondays? I don't know.
Freddie, I came to a sobering realization. We all know the turnover on offense, even though Bill poo-pooed it. You know, there's not a new faces. They've all been here since the spring. It's only Matthew Mulligan's new, which is absolutely asinine and ridiculous. But did you know not a single player who touched the football in the Patriots' win over the Texans last January in the playoffs was available on Sunday?
Yeah.
Not a single player, other than Brady, obviously. Yeah. No Ridley, no Shane Vereen, and then obviously all the receivers. No one who touched the ball, recorded a statistic, was on the offense that you were trying to win a game with.
I mean, and, you know, that...
But Mulligan was there.
That's extremely noteworthy.
We got Mully.
And the other thing that I think that, you know, look, it sounds like you're making excuses, and I am. You know,
no,
there's
but
no, there's
right,
no
Fred,
two ways about it. But
you're right.
When you have, it's not like I disagree with Bill that I agree with Bill that these guys have all been here since camp and all that stuff. But it's not the fact that they've been here. It's the fact that different guys are available for different things every week. And it's
none
not,
of which that have worked.
See,
together.
I don't even
in a real
take
game.
It that far. I think that I'm with you. They're all new. I don't care if they've been on the field every single day
right.
since the spring.
Like,
they're
normally,
all new.
But normally he can get away with when he says every team has turnover. Not every team, 8 months after winning a playoff game, has none of those players on offense together. None of them. That doesn't happen. I'm sorry. It's usually, you know, two guys, one, whatever. It's not the whole offense.
Yeah, that you know, and it's for all different reasons.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all injuries, letting guys go, like Welker.
Old injuries, new injuries, everything. Yeah.
So it's a variety of reasons, but the fact is that the makeup of the offense changes from week to week now, and it's hard. I'm not saying that Josh McDaniels has to change the playbook, but, you know, you're really asking last week or Sunday Brandon Bolden to be Shane Vereen, mm-hmm. and he's not that good.
Although he might have been the best Patriot offensive player,
right? But you know,
not Sunday.
He dropped
I thought
that
he
screen
was.
Pass.
He made mistakes.
God, he had some horrific mistakes in that game.
So did everybody else.
No, I know. So I can't put him in the good category.
Well, then I'm not putting anybody. I said I think he was the best.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Neither did Paul.
Yeah, I did.
So who are you arguing with?
No, I just said I think he was the best Patriots offensive player on Sunday.
I don't think
he's the one arguing with me.
No, I wouldn't say that he was the best. I don't think anybody can have the word best next to their name on. He had.
Okay, this is going to get into an awful argument, so I'll keep my effing mouth shut, but. No matter how bad it is, you have a best.
Yes,
okay, well, I think
I know,
he was one of the worst,
really
and
semantics.
I disagree with you.
So you think people
think
were better
I think
than
he
him.
Missed a blitz pickup that almost cost him the game.
And
okay. I think he dropped his
always
screen
a best.
Pass.
Right, but that's,
when you're talking about crap, there's
you know
still a best.
Spirit of
but what did
Paul
he do?
No, I actually don't.
Oh, come on.
If I had to pick a rundown of some of the best offensive players, Brandon Bolden would be near the top of my list.
Okay, but it's relative, right?
But wait a minute. I'm not even.
Not compared to what Shane Vereen was in week one. Not compared to what anybody was a year ago.
Were any of them good?
No.
Okay. That's what.
But
Paul
he was
said.
The best of
but,
the crap.
But all I was
the king of the dipyips.
Okay.
But all I was trying to say,
right?
And I didn't realize it was gonna touch a nerve. Is I didn't even think he was good.
I didn't either.
I didn't even think he was the best of the bad. I thought he was terrible, just like everybody else. I think Blunt ran better than him. I think a lot of guys
right up until he tried to give the game away.
I mean, a lot of guys dropped fewer passes than him, and he missed the blitz pickup that almost cost him the game. Brady was lucky to recover the fumble. I don't think he did anything well.
Oh, I do.
Like, that's the only thing I'm saying. And we can disagree with our opinion of
we
his
can't,
play.
We can't, because you yelled at me.
I never yelled. I didn't yell once.
Okay. And, you know.
But it wasn't a semantics thing. I just didn't agree that he played well.
You know, you break it down, you know, beginning with Blunt, because he was running well until he fumbled. And then I wrote on the blog, well.
I'm not going to yell at him. I don't think
Bill,
he ran well.
Bill won't, you know, can't afford to bench him this game. He did, for the most part. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, to me, you have to get him right back out there. I mean, you couldn't afford to, like.
Can't afford to fumble either in a ball game like this.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Now, that one I'm with Andy.
I mean, Bolden definitely had going in a role that they had in mind for him. Blunt definitely going in had a role. And I didn't think they should have changed that because Blunt fumbled, you know, but they did.
A lot of people yesterday, in listening to some of the talk radio, there was a ton of attention given to the running game. And they didn't run. Ron Borges' report card today was like, you know, they had 12 carries for 60 yards or something, and they only ran it six times in the second half. When I don't think they ran the ball anywhere near as well as, you know, Andy Gresh had another one of those days, Fred, that we were talking about. You know, they were running it all over them, you know, was his description. They short-circuited their own run game again.
No, see.
Did I miss all of the successful? I mean, I know that they had a couple of successful running plays here and there, but they also had a lot of negative plays mixed in the game,
and that's
which Bill really, really hates in the running game,
I think
especially. But the point I'm trying to make, they got down 13-3 in the fourth quarter. I counted up the plays. They threw the ball on 13 of the last 14 snaps. So they weren't that out of balance run-pass until they got down two scores with less than 10 minutes left.
And
13 of the last 14 plays were passes.
I think the fact is that it's not like, oh, the Patriots chose not to run. It's that the Falcons knew they weren't afraid of the Patriots.
Well,
run.
That's I
and
think
because
the
Patriots were ineffective, not because they
I
just.
I almost called them the Falcons, like he did.
Just not.
We're talking about the Bengals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I say the Falcons?
Yeah,
I meant the Bengals.
And I almost said the same thing.
It's. I think even early. I don't think the Bengals were worried about the Patriots' run. If the Patriots wanted to run the ball, they were happy to let them do it all game.
Because they weren't going to beat them
right,
that way,
and
they knew it.
2.53 yards a carry. No, I'm
but
serious.
But Fred, I'm right with you. And listen, could they have run the ball a few more times? Yeah, they probably could have. They probably should have run it on the goal line. But I actually think that Cincinnati would have been geared up and said, go ahead, try to run it in on us from here. Because I think Cincinnati is pretty tough up front. And I think if Cincinnati wanted to play the run, you would have gotten nothing.
Right.
But I know a lot of people, you know, they had 42 passes, 38 throws and 4 sacks. They had 42 passes and only 18 runs. But like I said, you go to the last three, your last two, you know, two or three series, it was almost, I think they had 3 runs in something like 16 passes on their last three series. That's where you got out of balance. Before that, it was, you know, reasonably close. It was like 26 to 15
and
before the end of the game.
And they kind of needed to do that at the end because they were desperate. You know, at 13-6, it sounds, well, you know, what's the big deal? But the way that game was going,
when you hadn't driven more than 30 yards all day, that's a big deal.
You need
the old days. Yeah, we can score. Don't worry, we'll
play. And I thought the Dobson one was, but it led to nothing. You know.
Yeah. Speaking of big plays, where's Josh Boyce?
I don't get that.
Every time I see him, he literally is sitting on the sideline with like no indication that he's even a consideration to possibly come in and pop one. And I think they need a game like that where you're not going anywhere. It's punt, punt, punt. It's drive 20 yards, punt. You're doing nothing. Isn't he a big play option?
Well,
isn't he, you know, an end around that might spark something?
35 yards was
chance.
Your longest drive of the day if you take out that 53-yard catch by Dobson.
Yeah.
They went 75 yards for a field goal on that drive, 53 of which came on a very short pass that Dobson made a terrific play on.
And if he can't
Other
play,
than that, 35
how bad
yards.
Must he be?
Well,
if he can't play, for
point,
what I'm seeing from the guys who, you know, for example, the Dobson-Brady miscommunication. You know, Dobson breaks to the inside, Brady throws to the outside. How bad must Boyce be that they don't even trust him to run down the field and maybe be a possibility?
That's a good point. I didn't really even think of it that way. But the thing that's really frustrated me is, to jump on your point, Andy, is it would be one thing if you were getting these lights-out performances from Tompkins and Dobson every week. You haven't really gotten a really good performance from Dobson at all. One reasonably good one, I think, against Tampa, right? He had 7 catches against Tampa, made a couple of big ones on third and fourth down. And then Tompkins had the good game against Atlanta for 100-and-something yards that I think was
good.
Not as good as the numbers looked like. But I'll give him credit. Other than that, they've been very pedestrian, the two of them. And I'm not killing them. They're rookies. They're learning. They're going to get better. But if Boyce can't get reps while your outside deep threat is averaging 5.3 yards a reception, when is he ever going to get a rep? Mm. Like, why can't he be part of, you know, in a game like that, 13-6, all it takes is one time.
That's right.
One time, get behind somebody and make a play.
But think how bad he must be. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're making the right decision based on what they see in practice.
Yeah,
and that's how bad he must be.
I don't think they have, you know, a 60 reception guy wasting away on the bench, but I do think they might have a guy who's capable of catching 10 or 12 balls for the year and averaging 20 yards per catch on those catches.
Now, right or wrong, I think it was very telling what Tom Brady said yesterday about, you know, these are plays NFL players need to make. I mean, obviously, that's what he's thinking about these guys, that they're just not making the plays they should be making. And I don't think it's just Tompkins and Dobson. I think he includes Bolden missing
sure.
that screen pass that had you a know, lot of green in front
that,
of
him. That would have been a big play.
Yeah.
That would have been a first down, and
I think
who knows if he breaks
Edelman.
A tackle.
I think he thinks Edelman
well, both those guys had bad drops.
Yeah, I think Edelman, he thinks probably Edelman.
Don't leave Amendola out of the bad drops.
No, that's
drops.
What I mean, both
yeah,
those
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
The guys
yeah.
who are supposed to be your consistent, proven
right,
slot
right. So
had bad games.
It's not just the young guys in this game.
Nope.
And
now the question I would ask
I also
is,
think
should they be pointing back at the quarterback?
Yeah, because I think he missed some throws that NFL quarterback shouldn't miss.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now you get back to what you were saying when we started the show, Andy. We have quite a few fans.
Led by our webmaster.
Who, but, you know, and I think that it's snowballed. I think whatever it is, it's in Brady's head. I don't think he's all of a sudden become inaccurate. I think that, you know, he'll never admit it, but I think he feels the pressure that every play has to be perfect. and he's pushing himself. And I think it'd be a good question. I don't know if he'd answer it. Is Tom, are you? Is it possible for you to go out there and just have fun and play football? Or do you feel that every play is so precise that you can't do that right now? I'd like to know what his honest answer to that question would be. You know, because I remember when Bledsoe was having his problems.
When was that? 96 through 2000. You
know, oh, that's ridiculous.
I think it was.
You know, it's funny. Andy and I had a nice conversation. I said, right now, Tom's sort of turning into Drew, like, around 1998.
Right. Well,
where, not performance-wise, but, like, remember when it was always, there was always the excuse machine. Listen, I was the president of the excuse machine for Drew. Right. Oh, he's, you know, this guy's hurt. Glenn's not reliable. You know, Sean Jefferson's hurt. It was always, it was never Drew's fault.
Well, before.
And now it's never Tom's fault. Now, Tom has obviously achieved a lot
before
more.
The end. But there was another stretch kind of in the middle of Drew's career where he's having trouble. And he accounted, he said a conversation on the phone with his dad was what helped him most, where his dad said, Drew, just go out there and have fun. Just relax and play. And he took that to heart and did it. And that year he rebounded after that. And, you know, he attributed it to that conversation.
That's parenting with dignity.
Well, I don't discount that for Brady.
But how does he have fun?
Just enjoy the game of football.
I know, but what comes first, the success or the fun?
Well, look.
It's hard to have fun
when
you're not completing passes.
Sure. but I think that if he clears up his mental mistakes, then...
How many mental mistakes do you think he had?
In that game?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd say about 20% of the problem was Brady in that game.
Yeah, I think that's a little strong.
You think it's less?
Yeah, I have, and Paul's going to just call me a Brady apologist.
No, I'm not.
I haven't seen anything cohesive and consistent enough so that I can point to the quarterback as being the problem. Everything else is so haphazard, so many drops, double catches, lacking fluidity. The offensive line I thought sucked. What I will blame Brady for a little bit is I actually agree with Pico. And I've said this all along. I think if you get to Brady early, hit him and pressure him early, it adversely affects him moving forward. The offensive line blew the first play on what's his name? The interior guy, Geno Atkins. Then they blew it on the next play. I think that kills Tom Brady. I think that I will point to him as the post-knee injury Tom Brady, when banged around a little bit, it hurts him the rest of the game. And I think he starts to anticipate the pressure and all that. But beyond that, I'm hesitant to say he was awful with his throws. He was inaccurate. He was this. He was that. Until I know where receivers are going and what they're supposed to be doing and see them actually catch the ball when it's thrown to them, I'm hesitant to. And that's, that makes me a quarterback apologist. Then I'm a quarterback apologist.
And I am too. And I am the first one to admit that I'm an apologist for him. And, you know,
the postseason.
The play that happened with Dobson that, you know, everybody's pointing to, you know, he breaks it in. Brady throws the ball as if he was going to break out. We all, and I think it's about 90% of us, 95% of us, will all sit there and say, well, Dobson ran the, you know, didn't read the defense right. He's probably supposed to read the safety there and cut accordingly. And Brady saw one thing, and so we're all going to side on Brady's side. Those aren't necessarily the plays. Those are the reasons why I think that the stats are sort of poor, because there has to be, I don't know what percentage, but there has to be a fair number of those that are happening during the course of the season where he's throwing the ball to an area and he's just not sure where the guy's going to be. I think there have been a number of other throws that have just been plain inaccurate, and I haven't seen as many in the past. I don't know.
See, that's the thing.
I don't know how to.
You guys always made fun of me because I've always said there are times, whether he comes out too amped up or whatever, where he goes through stretches of inaccuracy,
mm-hmm.
and they just don't show up as much because of all this other stuff. Because
Wes Welker reaches back and catches it.
Well, that's what I'm. That's part of what I was.
Gronkowski reaches back and catches it.
That's part of what I was
when
getting.
He's inaccurate.
At.
It doesn't work.
But that's my point. I don't think he has had this huge drop off. And other people think he's done, draft a quarterback.
You
know, he's old.
Let's pump the brakes on let's draft a quarterback. You know, he's done. I mean, yeah, we have gotten some emails. No question about it.
But we do have a webmaster.
Do you think that we know we're not taking that seriously? But I watched, like, the Indianapolis highlights. And you know I love Andrew Luck. He dropped one in down the left sideline to T.Y. Hilton. And it was pretty good coverage, about halfway deep in the end zone. bang. And they show it. It's coming down. The guy's hands are here. He hit him perfect in stride for a touchdown. That's the same play that Kembrell Tompkins tried to make the diving catch against the Jets. It's not quite as accurate.
But he's never been good. That's never been his strength.
He's never been good
at that. I mean, the deep ball has...
He's supposed to be like one of the more accurate passers that's ever played, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think his accuracy is at its best 25 yards and 20 yards and in.
Well, I think, Andy...
He's much better spreading the field horizontally than he
is are correct,
vertically.
Andy, you've said it before, and I've heard other people say it, and I think there's some truth to it, that it can't all be the other guy. I think, you know, when it comes to the complexity of the Patriots offense, maybe you need to change things up. Instead of, well, he should be there, figure out where he's going and then just throw it there, you know. And
but that's assuming he's going to the same place every time.
No, I understand. But maybe, you know, maybe it's like, you know, maybe it is the offense and not the players all the time. Maybe you need to adjust a little bit and focus on those dozen or so plays that you just know you can do really well.
What are those right now?
Well, that, yeah. I'm sure
that's part of the problem. They don't have a bread and butter.
It doesn't help that you don't have a tight end. You literally have 0.0 coming from the tight end.
That's such a big part of every offense's game this year.
And to not have it at all. I'm not saying you have to be Gronk and Hernandez in total 150 catches in a season. How about just have a guy that you is a legitimate weapon occasionally to be having the ball thrown his way?
He doesn't have to be Witten, but... You know, Eifert's making plays.
Everybody seems to have one except us.
Because
we cut Daniel Fellen.
Can I ask this, though? And I agree. They don't have a talented guy like all those guys you guys mentioned. But should he at least be trying to throw the ball to Hooman a little bit?
I think so.
Like, the fact that we ignore the tight end, does that help anybody?
No. But
I mean, they are, Tom's words, they are NFL players.
Yeah, but they're all different. Like, from your perspective, without getting too far back, in training camp, if you were to list the pass-catching ability or the athleticism of the tight ends that were on hand, where would Hooman have ranked?
Oh, very
certainly
low.
Behind Fells.
It would be behind Fells and Sudfeld. So you're talking about the third best athlete you had on the field in training camp is now your number one tight end.
I would agree with you on that.
And I don't know what the value is in that, the trust, the thought that, well, yeah, he's going to make a play.
But he does have great hands, and he showed great hands throughout training camp.
He may have great hands. That's fine.
But he never throws it to him.
But if there's somebody with him, or I think he's going to do absolutely nothing after I get it to him, what's the point?
Well, he was open on that play. You know, it was only one play.
I'm not saying Brady doesn't, but I'm with Fred. Brady has always made mistakes. He's had times when he's thrown wildly. He's had times when he gets amped up. He's had times when he sulks. He goes through all those, and he's always done it, you know, completing 65% of his passes and having a passer rating of 100.
Right.
Now he's completing 55 with a passer rating of 80.
But I just have never seen him do it for 4 or 5 weeks.
I've never seen him surrounded with such crap.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I saw him surrounded by pretty crappy players in 2006, and I didn't see him throwing like this.
Players he had played
and
with
I know
for far longer.
The numbers probably aren't as
he had two tight ends and a running back
different than they
he'd
are
been
now.
Playing with for 5 years. So, I mean, he had guys that were 4 years. He had
You're
weapons.
Right. It wasn't a complete overhaul.
He has
You're right.
no one.
You're right.
Especially, by the way, if the two guys he has, Edelman and Amendola, and I include Amendola, they look like they have a pretty good rapport in the short period, are going to drop the ball and are not going to be their reliable selves. I mean, now what are you working with?
Yeah, and they were part of the problem the other day. There's no question about that.
You know, we get all giddy about Bolden,
had
but
some
what's
bad
Bolden?
Drops in that game.
You know, like last week we're like, he's sliding into that Vereen role and he's showing his versatility. Well, yeah, for one week.
And the thing is, we cover these guys so closely. So, you know, for a Patriots fan who reads our newspaper or listens to this show, Bolden's a household name. But for the rest of the league, who the hell is Brandon Bolden?
And for anyone who looks at his stats,
he would barely make a lot of teams.
Oh, he had that good Bills game. Then he was hurt. Then he was suspended. Right. Then he did nothing. Oh, and then he had another good game the next year. Woo-wee! Too high.
You know, so you put him in this game, and you're expecting him to make plays that was slated for Shane Vereen.
All right, all the negativity on this show sucks. What about the defense?
I think the defense,
and all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
It's not that good. But I think they did a pretty good job.
They did.
You know, stopping the run without Vince Wilfork.
Ish.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that...
stopping is the word.
I think they sacked Dalton 4 times, pressured him many times.
That was the best element of the game,
you know,
to me. I thought for the first time all year, they got really good pressure. Not like coverage sacks or, you know, good pressure.
And the thing is, I think one thing that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, had it not been for Dalton's legs, I think the Patriots might have won this game because field position would have been drastically changed if he hadn't bailed them out when Patriots were pressuring them and he extended drives that way. You would have had maybe a few more field goals and it would have been a little different, you know, ending of that game. I think Dalton bailed his team out being able to run a little bit because the Patriots had pretty good pressure, but, you know, aside from the four sacks. And then that, but I go back to that one play that they, that quick play that they ran after the safety.
Yeah. The third.
That was the game changer right there.
After the safety?
Not after the near safety. Yeah. After the near
the third safety. And the third and 15 from the two.
Yeah.
Was just terrible defense. Yeah. Just terrible defense. And yeah, they weren't ready. That was another one. You know, I don't know if you read the transcript, and I'm going to end up paraphrasing it and butchering it, but Bill, you know, starts off by saying, huh, you know, we got to coach him better, and then he goes on for three paragraphs about how we went over this in training. You know, we go over these things, and then he finishes up there. We got to coach him better. You know, it's like the Tom thing, like, you know, they're NFL players,
but you got to get through to them. You can't just say it. You got to make sure they get it. That,
yeah,
that
there
they
was
understand
there
it.
Was an element, Fred, and I do agree with you. The defense I thought played really, really well, but there was an element kind of Super Bowl-ish, like. You needed a play. You know, it was clear the offense needed help on this day, and you let them drive 93 yards for a touchdown.
Right.
You know, when it was 6-3, you let them drive 93 yards in the fourth quarter for a touchdown. You can't do that. And right. There was nothing fluky about it either.
Right.
I mean, they picked you apart on that drive. Yeah. They had a couple of good drives, Cincinnati did. You know, if Dalton, you know, doesn't make a horrendous play early in the game, maybe the game is different for them, too. They might have been in total control.
Yeah.
That was a terrible
You're not going to shut any team down completely in the NFL. It's
yeah, just, and they did a pretty good know. Job. Defensively, they did a pretty
yeah.
good job.
But
and
now
they were playing their first game without the guy who right. they haven't played without for
and
a long time.
And now Kelly's hurt. We don't know the extent of that.
Said he's going to be all right.
Yeah.
I always take the
why
player's
is everybody,
word for it.
Why everybody seems to be ignoring that?
That he said he's okay?
Yeah.
Well,
there's a lot of people that are worried about this injury.
And
not that I'm not worried about it, but he said he was okay.
I was very, you know, optimistic when he came right back in, but then the fact that he came
right back out.
Yeah, I'm thinking
that worried
I'm
me.
Thinking sprained MCL.
Paul's got an MCL from afar.
Well, I originally had an ACL.
But coming back
when
in.
When he came back in the game, I adjusted that.
Right.
But then when he had to leave, I said,
because Joe Villano did get pushed around a little bit.
And they did go right at him and Jones on the goal
and
line.
And I want to get to these phone calls, but, you know, we've kind of touched on pretty much everything except the offensive line.
Yeah.
I think, although on the blog, a lot of people were, every time there was a bad play, you know, Nate Solder. That wasn't the case. He did screw up early with the Geno Atkins one, but. For example, the one where Brady had no room to throw, that was Wendell just getting pushed right into Brady.
Oh, that's our cover.
And our cover proves it. There was some definitely communication. I think the Bengals did a good job of mixing things up front, you know, and confusing the Patriots a little bit.
And they're pretty good.
You know,
yeah, that's a pretty good front.
Even you know, though they were out without Michael Johnson.
This just in, Rob Gronkowski likely to play.
Yeah, Pro
to
Football
ESPN.
Talk is also reporting that. I don't know who they got it from.
I don't know, but I'm hoping somebody else has it because I don't believe
that. We should devote some time in this show to discussing that if he does play, what the expectations should be. Because
eight catches, 130 yards, and two. No, I'm being dead serious. I told Paul this earlier. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was giving him the pitch count and I was giving him the get back in shape. You've been practicing for 5+ weeks.
Well,
you've taken longer than it seems like everybody expected you to take. You've lost a little bit of that rope. You need to hit the ground running.
I know, but then we shouldn't believe them when they tell us, you know, it's one thing to be in shape, but it's another thing to be in football shape. And you can only do that by playing football. And he hasn't played football since last winter.
That's fine. I have high expectations.
I just don't think that whether it's a pitch count or just being rusty, I don't think I can expect those type of numbers right out of the gate from him.
That's what I'm expecting.
You know? Well,
maybe,
I'm hoping for it,
maybe
but
the,
I don't expect
you know,
it.
Maybe the numbers. To me, I think that you have him, and even if you have to have him on still some sort of pitch count, I think that he's invaluable in the red
zone. Well, one thing I
would
do. If
they ever get there.
If you're going to put him in right away. And get him involved right away. So at least now he's something that the other team has to pay attention to. Because even if he's a distraction, that helps.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
They haven't had a distraction at tight end.
Even if you throw him a pedestrian pass, now you let Rob Ryan know right away
Right.
He's part of our game plan this week. You better be ready to cover him. And you might know in your mind, you know what? He's only a shell of himself. He's just going to be a decoy today. But now they're going to have to double him and give him extra attention. But to me, it's the red zone. I mean, there's no way that you're going to tell me that he doesn't get open on one of those plays. Yeah. And even if he's not open, you just force it
because
into
he didn't hurt his legs. So he can still move and all that.
He's coming off a back injury. That's pretty close to your legs.
That's fine. The back is fine.
Well, that would worry me if, you know, all of a sudden
he's fine.
All of a sudden he catches a pass and gets buried. Oh, I thought Solder struggled bad.
I actually thought it was coming. I said this is where they hit Solder for his touchdown.
Well, the pass was nowhere near.
Oh, I'm sorry. The play. I thought you meant the play of Solder.
No, the play to Solder.
He was held up a little bit on that play.
I think that was pass interference. Yeah.
Did you see what they were doing to Gonzalez last night? That was ridiculous.
Learned from watching us.
That's what we did to him 2 weeks ago. I absolutely think Rex Ryan said that's brilliant what Bill is doing right now. I'm not going to do the same thing.
While we're partitioning things off for later.
Right now, so we're going to take a quick break.
Wow.
We got a call stacked up, so as soon as I get back, we're going to go right to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Hungry.
Oh, God.
Don't. Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should you know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernrepper, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500, or email us at webradio@patriots.com. Get a lot of calls, a lot of emails, so... Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Make it quick because we got a lot of people who want to give their take on the current state of the Patriots. Let's first go to Steve in Atlanta on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Steve.
Make it quick. How can I make it quick? Okay, I'll make it quick.
Okay.
The end of the Belichick era. Fire Belichick and Josh McDaniels.
All right, well, that's great.
Well, we didn't necessarily mean that quick.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. What?
Hey, so how y'all doing?
Hey,
real quick. Okay, I'm going to make it real quick. Get off of Brady, all right?
I'm
a quarterback friendly, but one thing about that is, yeah, he threw the ball poorly when it started raining hard, but when he hit them in his hands, in the chest, and they juggling and dropping, that's on them. Another thing, you're wrong about this downfield accuracy. Remember, when they had Stallworth and Moss on the money. You don't have them guys more because you don't know what the devil them damn receivers going to be at because he ain't got nobody to help him. Defensive-wise, we could draft the same people, have the same people. Slow, smart, dumb, and can't cover nobody. That's all I got to say.
Wait, all right.
Slow, smart, dumb?
Are they smart or are they dumb?
I think whatever he's saying, they can't work. Yeah. All right. Joe is a first-time caller in Jersey. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Joe.
All right, I'll try and be as quick as I can. I thought the defense did a great job on Sunday. I was glad to see that they showed up for, you know, Tlaib did the best he could on Green, I thought. I figured he'd have his. As far as the offense goes, I thought the O-line was, like, a little shaky. I thought Solder got bitch slapped around in the first part of the game. Just wanted to know what your confidence in them was going forward. And then as far as the receivers go, keep it simple. I just don't know how you have a quarterback like Brady and you surround him with, you know, I don't want to say crap because I know they're rookies, but no surefire weapons. You know, I feel like he's showing up to a gunfight with no bullets. And there is possible the Browns want to trade Josh Gordon. I just wanted to know if you guys would be, are you for that, if they want like a second round pick? You know, what are your thoughts on that? And great show. Love your show. Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, people have said that same thing. Brady's showing up to a knife fight without a knife, or but showing up to a gunfight with whatever the analogy is. He doesn't have the guys right now, whether they're not ready or they just can't do it.
They have a few weeks. Do you make a move?
Well, the thing is, we're also told that, you know, you just can't insert a wide receiver in there and expect them to know the offense. So is that going to help?
Well, that is the major difference than Tlaib. Last year they brought Tlaib in and they basically said a number of times, just man up. You know, as he's learning the defense, you can man up. You can do that with a cover corner. I don't know if you could do that with a safety. I don't know if you could do that with a receiver who you need to get on the same page.
And I
page.
Think you could do it with a running back.
Sure.
You know?
To some degree, yes.
Yeah.
I think receiver is hard to do it. I also don't think that Josh Gordon is necessarily the guy you'd say he can do it. I mean, he's a guy who has a reputation, beyond his off-field stuff, has a reputation of not working all that hard. And I mean, are you going to expect him to come in and put in, you know, 20 hours a day to get up to speed and on the same page with Brady? I don't know. That would kind of scare me.
What I would advocate for, however, is the whole tough to get up to speed with a receiver is I'd rather have a guy who might be unsure of himself that has a higher level of talent. If I could. Now, I don't know. I kind of agree with Andy. I don't know if Josh Gordon is that guy. He's certainly physically imposing. He has some skills. He also has some question marks. And,
yes.
and quite frankly, those would scare me. I wouldn't want to give up a lot. If I could get him for a, you know, mid to late round pick, sure. If second round pick might be a little high. I don't know. That might be too much.
And the 49ers are apparently very interested.
Absolutely.
So it's not even like it's a one team race.
Right. So it's going to probably cost you something. Akeem Nicks from the Giants, I'd take him. You know, probably wouldn't be as high as you think. Last year of his contract,
right.
You're going to lose him. Kind of like a Major League Baseball deadline deal where you can get for a little bit less because the guy's going to be a free agent. I'd rather have a guy who I think is more talented than what I have if he's not going to be always on the same page
now,
and taking a while to get
to speed. They have extended the NFL deadline for trading. It's the end of October now?
Yeah, 29th. That was last year. Yeah.
So, you know, there is time.
And there's precedent. Yeah. I mean, last year we didn't see Aqib Talib coming, and we gave Belichick credit for his biggest weakness was corner. He needs a corner. He went out and got a corner. Well, you could argue this year his biggest weakness, well, I guess you could also say defensive tackle, but wide receiver and defensive tackle are two of his biggest needs. I'm sure he's looking into it, but that doesn't mean since they're going to happen.
And no one saw that move coming last year. Andy makes a good point about that.
And
no
the precedent is also set of getting a guy in the last year of his contract and then extending him for another year like they did with Tlaib, or they could do with Knicks if they brought him.
They didn't extend Tlaib. They re-signed him.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'm just saying that allows you, that's a good thing. That allows you to acquire the guy for probably less than he's worth.
Right.
Because you can sit there and say, well, he's got all this talent, but I'm only getting him for half a season.
Now, are the Giants on a good graces list?
That would be a thing that would be hard to quantify. You know, is it, you know, the whole Ballard thing? Is
well, that's what I'm wondering, if there's any sort of minor
them?
Animosity.
They could have Ballard back now.
Anybody could have Ballard back. But, again, like, if Knicks is available, he's going to get interest. It's not just going to be the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, and I don't even know if he's available.
No, I know.
I don't know if the Giants. I mean,
but I'm just saying.
I'm just saying the Giants are 0-5. They haven't re-signed this guy. You know, maybe they're just looking and say, you know, it's time to get ourselves.
Can you do that in New York? That would not look good, really, would it?
Well,
you're really just packing it in.
But what if you
in a division, by the way, you're only, what, two games down?
Yeah.
I mean, you could legitimately win the division.
Yeah, the whole division lost again, right?
Right.
The Eagles beat the Giants, but
they're 2-3, right?
I think Dallas is 2-3, right?
So you're two games back in the biggest media capital, and you're just going
to
trade
as
the
opposed
star
to the Falcons, who are four games back in their division,
who are done
at 1-4.
Dave's in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey guys, great show once again.
Thank you.
I just want to start off real quick by saying, you know, we are 4-1.
That is true. That does get lost a little bit this week.
I think, you know, Patriot Nation needs to get off the bridge a little bit and realize that. Okay. You know, talking about the receivers, you know, these are rookies. And you said it himself, there's going to be a green fairy here. And, you know, I watched that game. They weren't the only one dropping the balls. I mean, Amendola dropped those and gave him a couple passes. I mean, you know, Edelman dropped a couple passes. Brady definitely wasn't Brady-esque. Okay. I mean, you know, he had a bad game. Offensively, we had a bad game. The running game, You know, I think we got away from it a little quick, you know, with the fumble with Blunt, you know. I don't think that was really his fault. You know, it was a defensive play where he wasn't holding the ball loosely. He just got chopped out of there, and they kind of went away from Blunt. I mean, you know, the pass to, Soldier in the end zone, you know, he's not Grable, okay? And I think offensively, Joshua Daniels ball a little bit here, you know, with the play call, you know. And just to, talk a little bit about Dobson, he did have that one nice catch where, he had that run. And, yes, he did fumble the ball at the end, and thank God he covered it. But, I mean, if you watch that on tape, I mean, he looked pretty good. Okay, I mean, you know, he had a very nice run there. He waited. He set up his blockers. I mean, you know, that was, you know, showing some talent. You know, we just need to give these kids, you know, a chance. And, you know, and I just think, it's not just Brady who wasn't the offensive line, the running game. Everybody offensively laid an egg. They had a bad game. You know, but if you really look at it, with Brady's history, when he does have one of these bad games, he normally comes back super strong. Now we got to get ready for the Saints, and we go from here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, guys?
I hear you, Dave.
Yeah, the only thing about the whole Brady bounce back thing that is concerning me is this is not the first bad game he's had this year. I didn't think he could play much worse than some of his games earlier in the year. And with the exception of Atlanta, he hasn't really looked like himself in the other four games. So that's, you know, that whole that, there's no question. In the old days, you could pencil this one in for a 70% completion percentage with 300 plus and three or four touchdowns with no picks. I'm just not sure that he has the bullets to continue with the analogy that everybody
I like the knife
seems
at a
to
gunfight.
Use to get that done.
Didn't get one of the previous either callers or emailers got to the offensive line, and I'm pretty disappointed in the offensive line through the first month plus. To me, they needed to be more than they've been. They are the continuity. They are the unit that had all their guys back. They, you know, have the money, have the first round picks, have the best coach. And to me, they haven't been the strength of the offense like they should have been. I think they allowed early in the game it to go south there with those sacks early that really stunted those first two drives. They never, and again, I know the Bengals are physical up front, but sooner or later, when are we just physical up front? And we're pretty good too, and we move people, and we have one of those wild performances.
They did it in Atlanta, and we
against a crap ass front.
Well, that's the thing, you know. Now we know that
they're doing what they've been doing over the years. If it's a soft front or whatever, or running into passing looks, they can do it. How about we just line up and do it? And I also the pass protection hasn't been good enough. So doubly, I don't think they've been good enough. And even some of that was even communication. On the first one with Atkins, he just kind of slipped between Solder and Mankins, and Mankins kind of, I mean, they're just not playing up to what I expected from them, given everything else. You know, there's excuses elsewhere. To me, there's no excuse on the offensive line for them sucking.
And what I wonder about the play action thing, and to be fair, when they run those play action passes and they work, you know, beautifully, we sit there and we applaud it, but is that simply if the guy doesn't fall for the fake, you're not really equipped to handle it? Because Andy and I were watching the replay, and it's like, wow, you know, he just blows right by Solder here. And then you look and you're like, oh, it looks like Mankins was kind of looking. Like, neither one of those guys had any chance to get Geno Atkins on that play. None. Yeah. And I'm wondering, is that just a poor design? Like, you're hoping that that guy is going to bite for the fake and play his gap responsibilities or whatever, you know, that particular defense calls for and not penetrate. And Geno Atkins said, I've seen this play before, and he was in the backfield before Brady even turned around. And then Andy made a point, like, I don't know if it was the next series or two series later, they ran a very slow-developing sort of fake end-around screen in the face of all this pressure that almost got killed from the blind side. And you're like, I understand you want to run screens to combat the pressure, and they tried several of them.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, Bolden might have dropped the one that was the slow developing end around.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they didn't get any yards. They tried a wide receiver screen that got absolutely blown up. Mm-hmm. They tried a couple other screens. I think they had like four or five screens that didn't get probably 10 total yards.
Let's go to Christian. Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. I totally agree with you about the offensive line. If there's one area of the offense that you could look at and you could say, hey, these are the guys that have been together the longest, and you know you've invested high draft picks, and they haven't played good at all. And as far as Brady goes, yeah, he looks terrible because he has no confidence in the crew that's out there. He doesn't. And
The injuries are killing this team. All right, the injuries are killing this team. Injuries are an excuse. Next man up. There's not enough men up. We don't have good depth. And the tight end position, in regards to Gronkowski and Hernandez, obviously, which no one saw coming with Hernandez, but this team did an awful job in the offseason at that position because of Fells and Ballard. And I believe they made a gross misevaluation on both those guys. And that's why the position is where it is now with
Well, obviously. Yeah. Wait, but what do you mean? They should have kept them, you mean?
I believe their off-season evaluation of them, in other words, you cut both of them, and you brought them into camp, and they basically did nothing. Now, my question is, was an error made on the ability in the evaluation, or are those two guys just hurt?
Well, I think they're both hurt.
I think it's a health evaluation.
I mean, Ballard, there are two different issues. Ballard was coming back from a major injury. They were probably projecting improvement. That just never came.
Right.
The Fells, micro fracture, yep.
Yes. Fells got hurt in the summer. And based on the fact that he's worked out a couple times and hasn't signed anywhere, I'm guessing he's still hurt.
Okay.
Right? So,
all right.
I sort of agree with you, but I also sort of think, again, and this is like the lamest thing to ever say when you're analyzing, I think there's a lot of bad luck involved. I really do think they had a lot of bad luck this offseason in timing, in injuries, in murder, in everything, and the order of the operations, had those even happened differently? You know, if Hernandez had the good fortune to kill somebody in March, you could address it with free agency or the draft. I mean, if the infection hadn't there's just like all these factors. It's like the perfect storm. Why are you laughing, Paul?
Because you just said if he had the good fortune to kill someone in March.
Well, but seriously, like everything could have unfolded differently. Maybe you say, well, Welker, we don't want to pay him, but the continuity factor is worth it. So we're going to bring him back because we know Gronk is not going to be there and Hernandez is not. You know, everything might have unfolded differently.
Yeah, and like, you know, that was to my first point, the timing and everything, it has been awful, awful timing, and, you know, this defense is playing excellent. And imagine this defense with the 2011-2012 offense.
That's the best part. Imagine Brady if he ever had a defense. Now it's, imagine if this defense ever had an offense to work with.
I can't believe I would ever have said that, but, you know, I don't know, and I'm still waiting, you know, to see when they, you know, because I really do think they've played really subpar offenses so far, with the exception of Atlanta's, which, you know, I mean, I don't even know what Atlanta is at this point, you know, to use your old thing, Fred, you know.
1-4, Paul.
And I still think that was a good win. I think that's a tough place to play.
So then the Jets win was a great win.
No, yeah. I don't think anything more of the Jets win.
Oh, the Jets win, not a good win.
But I don't think any. But I'm consistent. I don't think any less of the Atlanta win.
Yeah, I don't either. I like going on the road and making the and coming out of there with a good win. But 4-1, you get the Saints this weekend. Like whoever just called said, you know, time to turn the page and we get Gronk back, and you know, hopefully, you know, when we get Vereen back. My question I had to you guys quickly: do we expect Ridley to play this week?
I do, but who knows? I expected him to play last week. We were told early in the week that whatever injury he had, and it wasn't knee, somebody said it was a deep thigh bruise, that, you know, he would be fine.
Well, the official is a knee, but there's been reports that it's a thigh, right? I mean, the Boston Herald has been saying thigh.
That's all I've ever seen. I didn't realize.
Yeah, the official.
I didn't realize the official was a knee.
Is a knee.
But he didn't practice all last week at all, right?
Correct.
Not at all. Right. Yeah. So whatever it is, it wasn't fine. I mean, he didn't practice at all.
He's not fine.
All right, Christian.
We just don't know, but we know he's not fine.
But Gronk is fine. He hasn't played yet, but he's fine.
He is fine. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Mayday. Mayday. Mayday.
The ship is sinking.
No, I don't think so. But how are you guys doing? Good?
Good.
Excellent. So I was calling you first of all because I haven't called in a while, and I apologize for that. But second of all, what are we doing with the $14 million money that we have under the cap? Do you think we're going to be using it this year to try to plug some holes into the apparent holes that we have in the hull of the boat? Or do you think they're just going to try to stick with what they have and then, you know, save the money as they usually do?
They're going to re-sign McCourty to extravagant money. No, I don't know. I'm only kidding.
No, they're going to use it. It rolls over. They're going to use it somehow, some way. I don't expect them to go out and sign a $14 million receiver. Like, I don't think there's one of those on the street that you just, woo, we got this money, we're going to cash out. But
what about a trade with the Browns? I heard that it's back on the market.
Yeah, but that's not going to cost you any money. I mean, there's certainly a possibility they could trade for somebody, but it's not going to be a $14 million trade. The most likely candidate for that money is re-signings. Is, you know, Talib would be the poster boy.
Yeah, right? Sure.
If you wanted to somehow get him to a big deal locked up. But if not, it rolls over. It'll be on your cap next year. You're not going to lose the money. And I know it looks bad because people are now mad. Another common theme this week has been Belichick, the GM.
Right.
You know, Bill always says post-game that they were out-coached. How about the GM saying they got to get better talent? You know, he never says that. And, you know, when's he going to say that, first of all?
Yeah, no, I agree.
But it looks bad, but they'll use the money. They do it. They always have money at the end of the year that rolls over, or they use some signings.
Yeah.
So when we see a pathetic performance on Sunday, which I thought was a game we should have won. You know, we played, you know, a subpar quarterback. Their defense was great, but I mean, come on. You know, there was a few throws that Brady could have made. But Christian is right. He's got no confidence. And I think to a certain extent, he may be on strike. But he may say, you know what? You took all my weapons. I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you a lesson.
What Tom does.
Well, you know, who knows? You know, who knows?
I know he's not doing that. I guarantee it.
I think, thanks, Olivier.
I think he's doing that in his comments. But well, he's certainly not doing that on the field while he's playing.
But the combination of the comments and the confidence question, I think that's interesting. Like the fact that these comments he keeps saying that when we get healthy, we'll be less of, yeah, but that's a lack of, that's him acknowledging he's not comfortable with the weapons he has on the field right now. And that is a lack of confidence.
Did you see him yell at Edelman at that one play? They never got the snap off, but he wanted Edelman to come in motion, and Edelman, I don't know if he didn't see the hand signal or didn't hear him or whatever, and then there was a timeout, I think, by Cincinnati, and he just yelled right on the field at Edelman.
Yeah, he's not striking. If he were striking, he wouldn't be so emotionally invested.
Let's go to Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Striking.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. You losing a lot of money these days?
I am, actually.
Yes, back-to-back weeks.
And I'm actually terrified about this Saints game. I think I'm going to double down on the Saints this week. Patriots are favored by 3. Then I'm going to get on the New England bandwagon for about the next 5 weeks. But I'm worried about this New Orleans game.
Patriots are favored by 3?
Yeah,
that
it's
is
really
surprising.
Weird.
That's really
so these teams are even, you know, using the old school, 3 points for home.
See, this is where looking at last year at the Saints, you should not do. This is a totally different team than last year.
Wait a minute. No one's looking at last year for the Saints. They lost their coach. They had a whole team was in upheaval.
So how could the Patriots be favored by 3?
Well, it has nothing to do with last year.
Well, then, I think it's I'm saying, what does it have to do with?
People think the Patriots are still the Patriots, and they're at home, and they bounce back. They don't lose 2 in a row.
And you can't even use
and don't discount the factor that everybody in New England bets on the Patriots.
Yeah, but shouldn't everybody in the country be betting on the Saints if you're getting 3 points? Yeah.
They might. It was 2 here yesterday, but everybody bets the Patriots.
The odds makers forgot about the Patriots' performance at New Orleans a few years ago when they got their doors blowed off, to quote one of our callers. And then also, Drew Brees always kills New England. I don't know if the average person really knows that, even when going back to it, San Diego.
Yeah.
A couple of plays from this game. I thought, speaking of Brady chewing out players, once they got the fumble at the end and then he went deep to Dobson incomplete, that next play, Amendola dropped like an 8-yard pass, and they showed Brady just absolutely furious, if you recall that. That was a big drop right there.
Yep. Yeah, he's furious and lot on the field. He's frustrated a lot on the field. I mean, because if you remember, even when it was going great, even at his best, he could be completing 24 of 28. He would be furious if something was ugly, if something didn't work quite right. Now it's happening, you know, once or twice a series.
So we go back to what we said. When Brady says these are plays NFL players should be making, he's not just talking about the rookies.
No.
Well, and even Amendola, it took him forever to try and roll into the end zone from the 1. It was like he was in slow motion or something. Just as soon as he had, just roll right in. He just tried to, you know, it just took too long to get it in.
I think you're right. He said that he thought he was in. He thought he was already in, which I'm not sure how he thought that.
Yeah, it's like, not to compare, but Welker always just scurries right in somehow. And then that...
oh, now we want Welker back? Now Welker's the guy that always makes the key play? Is that how it is now?
And then on that fake reverse that Bolden dropped, that play never seems to work. I think in the Giants in the Super Bowl in 2007, I think that was the play they did. I know Maroney is wide open, but Brady got killed on that play. they never seem to get anything out of that long-developing fake end-around play.
Yeah, I'm not big on slow-developing plays when you're not pass-protecting all that well. I don't know why you can't just run traditional screens if you're or draws or some of the plays that are to take advantage of the aggressive nature. They got to be, like, extra creative.
Yeah, and they run it so much. They run it, like, you know, every other game.
They do. They do run it a lot, which I would also think makes it lose its effectiveness a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, bet your entire life savings, put the mortgage payment, take the Saints getting three this week, then you got the Jets, then everyone's going to be all over the Jets, then you're going to take New England for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Lock it in.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Take one more call, then we'll take a break. Nathan's in Southern Cal. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how you doing? Boy, I hope Jeff loses his mortgage on that one. I had a question for you guys. One game that I saw the Saints play was against Tampa. And Tampa really slow, or I'm sorry, the Saints, as I say, Jets or Saints. But anyway, Saints and
the
Tampa, they ended up getting slowed down pretty significant. And I'd like to
turn the ball over a time.
Better than Tampa right now. Do you think we could have the personnel to slow them down? And what do you think the game plan is?
If the Saints turn the ball over like that, yeah, they'll definitely keep the score down. The Saints killed themselves that day. Breeze was terrible against Tampa Bay, and if the Patriots can do that, force those turnovers, which the Patriots defense is very good at doing, yeah, I don't look at this as a mortgage payment game. I'm with you. I think that this is I don't look at New Orleans' offense right now as being, you know, Jeff brought up that game in 09. That offense was far different than this one. This one can't run at all.
Right.
Jimmy Graham is unbelievable, and he's going to be a handful, but I don't look at the vast array
Sproles
around him the way I did back in 2009. I think they had far more to worry about back then, and I think Breeze, quite frankly, was better.
Yeah, I'm worried about Darren
Sproles. I think Breeze is mistake
prone. I think Darren Sproles
I'm worried about him,
is
too.
Way better than Jacquez Rogers, and I thought Jacquez Rogers gave these guys problems. So I am very much I'm not as concerned with Graham. I think they're going to do what they do and sell the house to make sure Graham doesn't beat him, because it's been Sproles and Graham are the two, you know, it's weird that a receiver isn't really in the mix as top.
Right.
And I think Pierre Thomas is even the next receiver, another running back. So it's not like you have to really, I wonder, and I'll probably talk about this in our TV show, but I mean, do you match up Aqib Talib with Jimmy Graham? I mean,
yeah, it's
do you do that?
There's no way. He's too small. And I mean, Steve Gregory, he's like Eric size. I mean, how is he going to, you know?
Well, if we're just going by height, then they can't cover him at all. Nate Solder, get Nate Solder out there.
That's why Indy and I think there's a chance they use Talib on him. He's the biggest one out of all of them.
I'd much rather have the best cover guy who's shorter than him than a guy who's shorter than him and also not nearly as good as a cover guy.
Breeze has burned us in the past, because what he does is he just takes whatever the Patriots give him. And I'm just concerned about this game. I mean, I really hope we slow him down. I really hope our offense can get going. But Graham is I don't see how we stop the guy. But anyway, I'm crossing my fingers. I appreciate your guys' analysis.
All right. Thanks, Nathan.
Thanks, Nathan.
Take care, guys.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into all these emails here in PFW in Progress.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February, because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. And we're going to get to the emails now because they're coming in fast and furious.
I did want to just talk about these Gronk reports a little more closely. Both ESPN, Ed Werder, and Pro Football Talk, citing sources, saying the Patriots expect Rob Gronkowski to be cleared to play this week. Both use that phrase, cleared to play. So therefore, the indication is he has not previously been cleared to play, correct?
Which is against everything we've heard in other reports.
Right, about camps and want him to play, and he caught 17 passes in practice.
That it was up to the player.
So I don't know what the hell's going on.
We really don't.
We just don't know. But I do think it's interesting that both reports have the same exact cleared to play phrasing. Not he's expected to play. It's very definitive, cleared to play.
You know, and
it's almost like it's intentional.
Well, I think it absolutely is intentional.
But see, now that worries me too, though, because if up to this point he wasn't cleared to play,
then he wasn't fine.
Then he wasn't fine, and what was it? The arm? You know, because we had the, you know, was it the arm? Was it the
But we get in trouble with which reports do we believe and not believe? Yeah. Do we believe the report that said his back is fine and his arm isn't? Do we believe the report that he's been cleared and he doesn't want his play, his dad doesn't want? Do we believe the report that he hasn't yet been cleared to play?
You know, it could be something as simple as he's not up to weight yet. You know, he hasn't gotten, you know.
Well, you don't have to make weight to play. Like,
no,
right?
But,
I mean,
there's no minimum. It's not Pop Warner.
You know, for a certain player, this is what you should be, and you're not there yet, and for what we're going to ask you to do, you need to gain some weight.
He also said he doesn't lose weight. Remember when he said that? It's just about being jacked and not jacked. I kind of agree with him. I have the same issue. I'm basically the same.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Do you imagine,
we're very similar.
Do you imagine he thinks that?
Yeah.
He thinks that there's like a similarity.
Yeah.
Anyway, the report, what was it, like 2 weeks ago now? It was before the Atlanta game, I believe. It was the one that was really detailing the practice.
Mike Reese.
But it was detailing the practice. That was before the Atlanta game, right?
Yeah.
It was detailing how many passes he caught.
Yeah.
He's caught 47 passes and been tackled.
And had been tackled.
47.
I don't know how you can do that without having been medically cleared by doctors.
Right.
So that to me, I agree with you, Fred. Has he not been fine all this time? Has he not been cleared for practice? Or is this a semantic thing that we're making too much out of right now?
Oh, I don't think we're making too much out of it. No way. The fact that it's reported the exact same way in both places.
Oh, I think
cleared
it's,
to
I think it's
expected
significant.
To be cleared.
Those words are significant.
Now, that would fly in the face of me saying I'm holding him to a high standard because this has gone on longer. If he wasn't cleared to play, then he wasn't healthy. We've all talked about that. He's going to be 100% when he gets out there. So apparently 2 weeks ago, he could not have gone out there because he was not 100%.
Unless medical staff includes psychiatrists who they have working with him. And
they did say, doctors,
he
right?
He wasn't so mentally.
Didn't say what kind of doctors.
Right. It could be anything. Let's go to the emails, webradio at patriots.com.
I think they might be taking a little of the heat off of Rob Gronkowski.
New York
trying to.
New York Pats fan
didn't
writes
they
in.
They put the heat on him by saying how many passes he caught in practice? So do you want it hot? Do you not want it hot? Where's the heat?
I'm a diehard Pats fan from Brooklyn, New York. Past two Super Bowl losses still sting. But anyway, let's talk yesterday versus the Bengals. Brady, what are you doing back there?
Whoa.
Yes, the receivers are rookies, but they all have the ability to make plays. I have never
Actually, they don't have the ability to catch the ball when it's thrown to them because they have yet to prove they can do that consistently.
I have never seen Brady have such an off year. 90% of his passes are off target. The receivers have to leave their feet to make the grab, which cripples their chances of making a big play after the catch. Losses are going to happen, and so are bad games. Yes, we get it. I also hate this leave-me-alone attitude on the sideline. What the F? Get together with the team. Are you losing your grip? Players should not be afraid to come and talk to you or discuss something. Get off your high horse and get back to fundamentals. And we have a decent shot this year. Props to the defense. They're playing lights out. Sorry to see Vince go down, but I'm extremely excited to have Spikes back out there. He's such a playmaker. He should not be sidelined. Just a few thoughts. I thought that Mayo and Spikes had their best games of the season.
Well, Spikes, it was sort of a race of one, and it was definitely his best game because he hasn't really played that much. Now, I find that
Mayo
interesting.
Was
this was clearly a base defense team. They're a two tight end team. It allows you to have Spikes. What are they going to do when it's a more nickel team? Is Spikes going to stay in?
Jamie Collins, eventually.
Yeah, but does that concern you?
But my question is, when they were going nickel with a DB coming on the field for a linebacker and leaving the defensive lineman a lot, right?
Right.
Yes.
Are we going to keep doing that, or are we going to change something where the DB comes in for a defensive lineman and it Spikes and an extra DB? How are we, you know, where does the nickel point, go from here?
The point I think Andy's trying to make is, what is your confidence level without Vince and perhaps even without Tommy Kelly stopping the run with extra defensive backs on the field?
Right.
You used to be able to get away with playing nickel the whole game against, say, the Jets or Buffalo in the first couple of weeks because Vince was out there as part of it, even though Vince wasn't playing great. Now,
you need Spikes in there as a gap filler.
Right. You know, if you go nickel and Spikes comes off the field, now Spikes didn't come off the field much the other day because they played a lot of base.
Right.
Like Andy said, a running team with two tight ends, you were able to use just like against Tampa Bay with Doug Martin, Spikes played a lot. What happens if Spikes comes off the field in nickel?
Yeah. Right. And what do you do against the Saints? I mean, Drew Brees likes to pass that ball.
Because if Spikes comes off the field, it's almost double because you have limited faith maybe in your defensive tackles, and you don't have the guy behind him to clean it up because he's so, like, you're doubly weak up the middle potentially. So I think that bears watch. I think Spikes is going to play more now than he may have had Will Fork stayed healthy.
Yeah, I thought Mayo played pretty well the other day. Spikes, he had a huge interception, obviously.
Which is good for him, by the way.
Oh, no, it's huge for him.
No, I mean, it's a terrible play by the quarterback.
Yeah, it was all on the quarterback, but
it's also
he did
a
right
terrible
there.
Play if the quarterback makes a terrible play and hits you in the chest and you drop it.
Yeah, he has
you
pretty good hands.
You kick yourself on. No, I know,
he
but...
He's shown pretty good hands.
If you drop that play, and I think some linebackers might have, all of a sudden you're saying you lost yourselves the game because you didn't take advantage.
What I didn't necessarily... You know, the Spikes... And Spikes got a lot of love.
He's got the best celebration in football.
He had 11 tackles or something like that, but... He had one that was a really, really big play where he stormed into the backfield and did his spike afterwards. But I thought Cincinnati ran the ball reasonably effectively. They were able to run it a lot, and they didn't have many big plays in the running game, but they had like 160-something yards. I thought they were able to control the game. And, yes, Spikes had a lot of tackles, but not a lot that I remembered. Mayo?
He had a couple.
Mayo? I had a lot of tackles that I remembered Mayo making in that game.
Yeah, Spikes had a couple.
And by the way,
I still think he falls in love with hitting people.
The tight ends, by the way, were
weird.
A problem again.
I see him like burst through and just hit a guard. Like he wants to hit the guard more than he wants to make the play, which is great. I love the style, sort of. But sometimes I think he needs to err on the side of actually making the play and not just blowing something up.
Toby from New York, what an ugly game. The Bengals handed us that game on a silver platter, and we threw it back in their face. I was wondering why McDaniels didn't call more screen passes to counter the Bengals' aggressive defense. I especially think they should have tried some on the last drive when the rain was clearly affecting Brady's ability to get the ball downfield. Getting Bolden or Edelman the ball with blockers in front and slippery conditions seemed like a great idea to me. What do you think? Another question, I think the Patriots should get on the phone and try their hardest to get Hakeem Nicks. He's in the last year of his contract, and I heard somewhere he wants out. We could give them Aaron Dobson in a late-round draft pick.
Yeah, that'll get it done.
Why did they want Aaron Dobson?
I thought they tried screens, and they didn't work. And on the last drive, they tried a couple of short little throws to backs that were dropped. I know Bolden dropped at least one in the last drive. I think Amendola dropped a short one, or maybe it was Edelman. Which one? I don't know. I get them confused.
Deadspin on the line one. They want to see if you're a racist.
But really, really short throws to short wide receivers. Really short throws that are like screen. I mean, in other words, they're trying to get you, a 3 or 4 yard throw that's going to pick up 15 yards, which is a screen.
A lot of swing passes to Bolden.
And they got dropped. They didn't work. And they were tightly covered, by the way.
TG and NJ says, okay, I'm going to say it, 4-12. There, I said it. Just wanted to get it in before Squidward.
Oh, Eric. Oh, sorry, TG.
Eric is probably loving
it. You were with him, Fred. Yeah. Now, you tell us. You paint a picture. Was he giddy? Because, he picked the Bengals. You know he struts around. You know he loves to put his blazer on game day.
Oh, yeah.
And stick his chest out and walk around with that air of, superiority.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's giddy, but he wasn't grieving the loss. Let's put it that way. He'd rather be right than have the Patriots win
the
Super Bowl.
I can't fault him in that.
Well, I mean, that quote was originated by none other than Andy Hart in the 2005 playoffs that a game, by the way, he's still yet to see.
And he was right about.
It's come to my attention. I didn't know this. My favorite emailer, Bill Berry, sent Andy and I an email. I don't know if you read it, Andy.
I think I did, but I forgot.
The PFW Elite. You know, we sort of talk about them every week on the pregame. You know, shout out to the PFW Elite, and you know, the fans are loyal. I did not know that that group was originally.
Oh yeah.
By people that Eric blocked.
Yeah, we said that on the show.
I missed that.
Yeah,
I totally didn't know that.
Those are all people who have been blocked on Twitter by Eric.
I actually blamed him. I thought it was Kevin and some people.
I thought
he
it was people that
something.
Yes.
So
I thought
if you
want
to be
thing.
Part of the PFW Elite, all you have to do is insult. Eric on his Twitter account, and Bill, and you.
I wasn't
it's
aware
not that
of that
hard either. He's
and,
very sensitive.
I thank Bill for bringing that to my attention because I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. Oh my god!
Just the fact that he blocks people, I think, is fantastic in and of itself.
You know, it's funny because he's using that Twitter account not only for his travel log, but also you know to disseminate Patriots information, and yet he's blocking Patriots fans.
Right.
You know.
Another question I had, and somebody brought this to my attention and asked PFW. I'm always hesitant to criticize play calling. I think it's sort of overblown both directions, great play calling, bad play. But the guy said the McDaniels has become very predictable. After every first down incompletion.
Second and 10 is a running down.
They run. And I said, oh, come on. So I went and looked.
They do it a lot.
5 for 5 in the game. The only times they didn't were in 2-minute situations, the end of the first half and the end of the fourth quarter. That's bad. 5 for 5 in any situation is way too predictable, especially against a team that's pretty good up front. It's like it's not even a bad defense. You say we can get away with it.
There were a
so
lot
that's
of
a concern.
A third and unmanageable.
Well, third and long. 8 of their 12 were 7 yards or more.
Yeah. And I know second and 10 in the NFL has become somewhat of a running down.
But it should never be anything.
But it can't be. It can't be to that extent.
Yeah, it can't be that predictable.
It can't be to that extent. And let me tell you something. It's total anecdotal. I'll bet you it's pretty close to that every game. Because I think of it all the time, and I'm always astounded how many times they get 7 yards on those runs. And I always say, you know, when they run the ball, you know how, Fred, you and I, and you're with me on this, we nitpick the running game a lot. Yeah, they got yards, but they get a lot of the yards in those situations where, you know, the nickel's out there, you know, that maybe it's second and 10 and everybody's playing, oh, they're gonna throw here, and they do one of those little inside draws to Ridley, and he gets 8. And you know, listen, those are good yards. It sets up 3rd and 2. That's a big play. I'm not dismissing it, but I think Josh does fall into that trap a lot.
And I like Josh a lot. I think he's been very. I don't think he's been successful only doing one thing. I think he's done it different ways over the years. He's done it in different places. I thought he did a good job in Denver. Obviously, beat this team and made Fred mad. But
still mad about
yes,
that.
Yes, but that. That's way too predictable. I didn't realize it was to that extent, and he needs to, you know, self-scouting, that needs to come into play.
It's good research by you, Andy.
Well, I was going to poo-poo the guy and say you're an idiot, and McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator, and I said, son of a bitch, he's 5 for 5 after incompletions with run
plays. Yeah, I would have just gone with, yeah, he does tend to run a lot on 2nd and 10, but I wouldn't have looked it up to see exactly how much.
Alex from Philly, another week, yet another potentially devastating injury. Is Tommy Kelly okay?
He says so.
We can't afford any more injuries. Does this loss count as one of those unexpected eggs that we seem to lay every year?
No.
No.
Everybody circled this as a losable game.
I thought this was going to be a rock fight, and it's exactly what it was. I just thought we were going to win the rock fight.
Who knew that the preseason actually ended this week? Because now, obviously, we know the Falcons were part of the preseason. We had 8 preseason games.
I don't know what our problem is with physical teams, but our O-line seems to consistently struggle against a front that plays that style. On a positive note, Tlaib and the D continues to prove its legitimacy. If only we had this defense 2 years ago, we probably would have won the Super Bowl. It's the only fitting that as soon as the D becomes respectable, the offense starts to stink.
This is my favorite storyline of all time. If only this defense had an offense.
Question, is Chandler Jones having a year 2 jump so far, and how do you feel about the pass rush overall?
I think it's like a good-sized hop. I'm not sure it's a jump so far.
I don't know, man.
I think he's been all right.
I think he's been okay.
Yeah, I think he was okay last year, too, though.
Yeah, I don't really see
So I don't think him making a big jump.
Oh, yet. I think he's better than he was last year.
Really?
I think I've seen more consistent pass rush.
Okay. I think the pass rush in general has been okay. I thought on Sunday it was really good. I thought it was really good Sunday. I think most of their sacks in general come as a result of, you know, scheme. design. They took away a throw that a guy. Geno Smith is the prototypical guy. If you take away whatever he wants to do first, he's done. He runs around, and you end up getting him sacked. But I thought on Sunday they got good pressure off the snap. Chris Jones. Who knew?
I didn't.
Run stuffing defensive tackle had. I thought he was a going problem for Cincinnati.
So let's circle back around, Fred. You're disappointed in Chandler Jones? Is that what I took from that?
A little bit. I think
he's been average.
I think he starts to make some plays. He needs to, be a star.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he starts.
I think. I think he had a half a sack the other day that he really didn't have very much to do with.
Right.
I think that's where his stats have been generated.
I actually like all the half sacks. I told Paul this. I'm very excited about half sacks. It means two people were, involved in the play and potentially meeting at the quarterback.
I'm looking for game-changing type plays from him.
Just tell you, if we're going to start criticizing second-year guys who were traded up for and picked in the first round, he's
not,
second on my list.
Not high on the list.
Do Siamese twins have half sacks each, or do they...
It depends where they're connected. If they're connected, oh my God, I felt it. That channel.
Good.
No. There's. I don't know if it's Lifetime. One of the eight HD channels, kind of near HBO in there, will have these run of the man with no face, the man with no body.
The Lifetime Movie Network?
They hook me in every freak. One guy literally had no body. It ended like down here. And the first thing you're wondering is
how does he?
And I happen to click over right, and he's like, I know women have sex with me just to see what it's about and see what's down there. And I'm thinking, so he does.
Really?
There's something to have sex with.
Not surprisingly, Fred.
Oh, shut up.
The first thing that was on Andy's mind when he heard about this guy.
Yes, I'll admit it. In this case, when I saw a half a man, I wondered if he was a man. And then the next one was the man with no face. And you remember the bad pirate in Pirates of the Caribbean with just the stuff growing off his face?
Yeah.
It was that, but this, it covered his eyes, it covered he had these tumors, but they were like bubbles, and then he started to bleed, and you couldn't see his face, his eyes were everything was just a blob on top, it was so bleeping disgusting, that one I had to turn off, I couldn't look at it.
Poor guy.
Ever get sucked in by those?
No.
Like, the woman with half of this, the man with,
I
you don't?
No.
Really? You don't, that doesn't?
No.
Well, you? That doesn't grab you when you see that in the guy?
I don't really see it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I watch sports channels. That's it. I mean, I admit that I'm the most shallow person in the world, but
you
all
don't
I
check
really
the
care
movie,
about is
like the movie channels in that area.
I watch
right
some sitcoms.
You watch the gayest sitcoms on the planet.
Modern Family is one of the funniest sitcoms that's ever been made.
No, I'm talking about Freddie Prinze Jr. and stuff. You watch shows with him in it.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
You used to watch one 2 years ago.
There was a show that it wasn't 2 years.
Luckily,
years, it
it's not on anymore because no one else watched it.
It was more 10 years ago.
You watch all those bad sitcoms.
I like some sitcoms. Yeah,
all bad ones.
Well, I mean, you
Paul likes sitcoms that remind him of his high school years.
No, they don't have those. I like movies that are.
Let's go to Chester
the
in Oregon.
Movies.
Hey, Chester.
Those suck me in every time.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Good.
I feel partially responsible for this loss this week because, instead of just bringing it, I ended up getting coffee talk going with you guys, and I feel like it threw the mojo of the show off. It threw the mojo of the team off. But in all seriousness, it's time for Brunk to get out there. I'm thrilled to hear some of these preliminary reports, but, Andy, I'm with you. I think this guy is more than game ready. The limited snaps, I just think that, it's time to unleash the beast, so to speak. The O-line needs the most. I red zone efficiency, obviously, but, to me, he immediately improves that offensive line, especially on the edges where we just got killed. And, I know Wendell was a big problem, during that game as far as that pass rush, but, let's not lose sight of the fact that this is, I would say, a top five front seven in Cincinnati. And, I think we got a dose of, what may come later on this season in terms of, having to stack up and deal with that. Surprised Devlin wasn't there to offset a little bit of that personally. But, as far as being an ugly game, I got to ask you guys this, in terms of losing a game, would you have rather lost by an offensive shootout with no defense, or would you have rather seen a defensive effort there? And, we came short because of the horrible weather. And, frankly, I think that Amendola somersault, if it was just a half yard more, would have changed the landscape at the ending of that game, personally.
Yep.
But, we may have seen OT, and frankly, I doubt we would have won that. But,
yep.
To me, the takeaway here, this team needed to experience loss. I think these young guys need to feel the burn of this loss. I'm sorry it's an AFC loss. I would have rather, in hindsight, just seen a loss to the Falcons, personally. But, to me, the offense can be fixed. I'm absolutely sold in this defense, guys. I love what I see here. As far as Josh Gordon, I say yes. I say we take a gamble, get somebody out there to stretch the field. Much like Khalib last year, big thing there was that he slotted the defense
guys into their rightful roles there, you know. As far as Boyce, I think we're saving him for later on this year. I think he might be a surprise player after, you know, week 7, week 8. So, that's all I got. I'm saying 38-17 against the Saints this weekend.
All right. Okay.
Who wins?
Thanks, Jester.
Who wins?
I think he's assuming that the Patriots win.
Why did you assume that? I don't know what he's assuming.
Because he's excited. Now, if you're like Paul, and you believe that the offense will eventually come around, then you'd rather have a loss.
That's how I felt coming into the season.
You'd rather have a loss like yesterday than a shootout loss.
I would have much rather had a shootout, because I'm actually like Chester. I think the defense is proving it's competitive. I don't know how good it's going to be.
I would have rather had a shootout.
Yeah, but if you have the shootout, that kills your defense thing.
Yeah, but you can have a hiccup. This offense hasn't had a hiccup. I don't think the offense is good.
The hiccup for the offense was the 30-point game. That was the hiccup.
Yeah, well. But you think it's eventually going to get better.
That's what I thought before the season.
You don't think that anymore?
5 weeks later, you don't buy it? Doesn't always work out
based
for Brady
on what
and Belichick?
Based on what I've seen, how
can I think
that? You
got Gronk coming back. You got Vereen coming back.
Is them losing
Vereen's
guys.
Coming back in week 11.
I know. I'm just going with what Brady keeps telling me. What do you? Don't yell at me. Yell at Brady.
I'm not as convinced as I was about the – I mean
– So have you reassessed your record, or are they still a 12-win team?
Well – now, I'm just going to stick with my record based on opponents. I don't. No one's really exciting me from what I'm watching, other than Denver, obviously. I'm still looking at the teams the Patriots play, and I'm not looking at teams that I say, well, they're going to have a hard time winning that game. They're going to have a hard time winning that game. I still see.
But Miami, twice, the Jets.
I still think
those will be competitive?
Yes, I do. But I think the Patriots will find a way to beat them because they have better coaches and better quarterback.
The quarterback's better? This week I wasn't sure.
When have I said that Brady's not better than Geno Smith?
In the postseason.
They don't play Geno Smith in the postseason.
They could.
I think he's better than Joe Flacco, too.
By the way,
I think he's better than Joe Flacco, but I don't want to say he's better than Joe Flacco in a playoff game, because he hasn't been.
I just want to make sure I understand the rules.
What rules?
If the Broncos and the Chiefs both go 15-1, like beat each other each once, one will be the 1 seed and one will be the 4 seed? The 5 seed?
The 5 seed. Yes, you're quite correct.
And so the winner of the AFC East, that could be 7-9, will be the 4 seed.
Well, that's the way you guys want it. The division needs to mean something. I'm the only one that doesn't like that.
I'm just thinking about it. Conversely, I'm thinking in the NFC. Like,
do you
literally
think all those things that Nick said? Do you feel
he said 20 things.
About,
I just had to fixate on
do you
one.
Feel confident about all that stuff? In one breath he said he was confident that the offense could get fixed, and then the very next sentence was they should go out and get Josh Gordon. Well, which is it? Are they better? They're going to be okay?
Well, maybe he's confident it can get fixed
if you go and make a major trade.
Well, you know,
because I think it could get fixed if they added a major talent to it, too.
Now, he also said at the end of that the Tlaib thing, it allowed everybody to fall into slots, which there's some truth to.
Absolutely.
Would that happen with Josh Gordon? I mean, is there an assumption there that would cause everybody else to fall into their slots, quote-unquote? I don't know that to be true.
See, I'm not looking for help from outside. I just can't count on it.
I agree. It's hard to just assume that even though they've done that a few times, it's hard to assume they're going to.
Right. So
tell you what, you can't count
on it.
The way
I'm looking at it is this. You know, I picked the Falcons, Bengals last week. Once Ridley never came back to practice, I said, that's it. That's the tipping point. There's just not enough, you know, for them on offense to do it this week.
But Ridley was the one that was the
tipping
point.
Yeah, that was the tipping
point.
Yeah.
I can't argue with you. You were right.
So this week I think one of the people from PR said, well, you know, who are you picking this week? I go, let me wait to see who practices.
Julio Jones out for the year.
You know, that's what it comes down to me. If Gronk practices, if Ridley comes back, okay, I'm going to get a little bit more optimistic, but other than that, they just don't have the firepower on offense right now, especially against the Saints, to compete.
Wow, I think we're getting a foreshadowing of Thursday, Andy.
Well, no, because Gronk's back.
We'll see.
Well, you just said they just don't have the firepower to compete.
No, but now they got Gronk.
I think they need to get Ridley back.
You really like Ridley, huh?
Yeah, I don't really see the difference that Ridley would have made on Sunday.
I think so.
It's a committee.
There's
another committee member.
Yeah, but see now
I would put Vereen higher on the pedestal than Ridley.
See, Vereen can do different things.
But it's a little weird that a 12 touchdown, 1200 yard guy.
No, but Vereen can give you a different element that you don't have. Ridley gives you another element of Blunt.
Right.
No, I think
he's better than Blunt.
I think Blunt's 4 yard runs or 7 yard runs, and I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't.
See, I do.
And first of all, the first four games would disagree with that based on his performance.
Yeah.
So far, in a short sample, Blunt has been the guy that can finish his runs, and Ridley doesn't.
I think Ridley is a better back than Blunt. There's no question about that in my mind, that I feel that he is a better back.
We know. We visited that earlier.
But statistically, I don't think that he has done anything this year to tip the scales, being the difference between winning and losing a game.
I think he would have made a big difference.
Ever, by the way, in any game that he's played so far as a pro.
I'll feel better if Gronk's back. Gronk, and I'm assuming Amendola will still be back, even though we obviously don't know for sure. But Gronk, Amendola, Edelman. Okay, now I have three guys that I think Brady, even despite last week where Amendola and Edelman were kind of questionable, that he feels like he can have confidence in, that are NFL players that will make NFL plays.
Look at Johnny Damon. What a clown. Johnny Damon's on ESPN. He looks like he's been on the beach for like 3 years.
Going to the disco. Tony's writes in, please talk me off the bridge. 8.7% of Brady's passes are dropped. According to ProFootballFocus.com, Dobson had a 23.5% drop rate and apparently runs routes which only occasionally bear a resemblance to the routes called for. Tompkins, who rarely catches the ball cleanly, couldn't get open against a depleted Bengals secondary. Pats were second in the NFL in drops before the Bengals game and then had six more. I know Bolden and Amendola had key drops too. I could go on. How much longer do we contend this is merely rookie inconsistency before we think, uh-oh, at least in terms of this year? I hate the thought of a still elite Hall of Fame quarterback's talents being underutilized, if not wasted.
Yeah, I passed that point. I've given up on the hands for Dobson and Tompkins for this year. They're not natural. They're not soft. They're not consistent. They're not any of those.
And you know, it's funny to me, like, Andy and I got really criticized last week because we talked a lot about, like, nothing ever looks right. You know, that was the term, you know, that Tompkins had 127 yards, but some of the plays just don't look right. And then all of a sudden the next week, some of those same plays that looked the same as the week before went incomplete. Instead of the double catch getting caught, this one hit the ground and overturned a key third down conversion. That ball's got to get caught. Was that a good throw by Brady? No. But that ball's got to get caught. And now all of a sudden it's, you know, will these guys ever be able to do it? You know, he just had 127 yards last week. You guys were telling me and Andy that we didn't know what we were talking about.
It's because nobody sees it like we do, Paul. We see it.
Well,
and
people
we
would
truth.
Argue that because we're negative.
No,
I mean, we're not.
But Brady was great, and Welker cost them a Super Bowl when the throw made him twist around and back here. Now Brady sucks, and he's throwing throws that are behind guys, and he's lost it. Well, it looks to me like he's doing some of the same things he's always done, which I also believe all quarterbacks do. I think if you watch every one of Peyton Manning's 500 throws, you're going to see balls behind people.
Every one of them
and
hits
guess
the
what?
Guy right in the numbers.
Welker,
but I'll tell you this, they're all wide open.
Thomas might go up and get one. Did I hear a post-game thing, too, by the way? His mother and grandmother are both in jail, and they share a cell. Demaryius Thomas. And the mother could have stayed out of jail, but she would have to testify against the grandmother, and she refused to. And
I didn't. I hadn't
it was one
that.
Of those. Have you noticed they do Shapp? Jeremy Shapp does, like, sports reporters for radio, and it was this in-depth feature. And I swear they said the mother, who shares the cell with the grandmother. And I was thinking, wow, he's got a tough life.
Keith writes in, do we like Colley as a pickup? What's your honest assessment of this guy, and do you think he'll play this week?
No idea. I'd have to see him do something, anything, before I can make a...
I mean, I think he's been a productive guy. He would have been a guy in training camp. You know, the whole, they need to bring in a veteran. You know, Michael Jenkins was here, but they need to bring in another guy. I think he would have been a fine addition, but for whatever reason, they didn't have him in training camp. Now, I don't know what you can get out of him because... You know, he hasn't been here, and he has such a tenuous health situation. To me, I'd be very surprised if it doesn't end with him either being released soon or getting hurt.
Yeah, I just have no – I mean, if EJ
had – play.
If he had just the head or just the knee, it might be one thing. He has the head and the knee. Like, I have no idea what he is.
Oh, but I do think he can play a little bit. I mean, he's a
could.
Guy who's had some
– Could.
No, but he's had some production in the NFL at
so
the NFL
Jerry
level.
Rice.
By the way,
bring him back.
I'm praying.
On, will you please?
I'm praying that, you know, when the Patriots make the playoffs, that they'll get to play the Bengals again because after the game in their locker room, their defensive coordinator made it a point to have everyone cheer that they broke Brady's touchdown record. So
these are the things that stay on your mind.
Yes, they do.
And that's not okay for a defensive coordinator to do.
Because no, I'll
that's
say
not
this.
Okay to set goals and achieve them and then succeed and celebrate them.
Well,
yeah, and not
we
only
make
that,
fun of
know,
the Patriots for looking at little petty things like that. So why shouldn't we make fun of
like
Bengals
what?
For doing it?
Like what?
Anytime the Patriots look at, you know, best defense in the league, you can, you know.
Put, yeah.
Right.
And we criticized them for that?
Yes, you did.
No.
Wait a minute.
No.
Who's we?
People do. Oh, that's petty.
Now, you people know, do. Did it? Know. Was it us or was it people?
Whatever. You know, so,
I think that's what defensive coordinators do. Yeah. I think that's what everybody does.
And what people you achieve goals. What people like me do is grasp onto those things and say, we'll get you for that.
I'll tell you why you should want to play the Bengals, because Marvin Lewis has never won a playoff game. That's why you should want to play the Bengals. And Andy Dalton is a shell of a franchise quarterback.
Well, that
to me is first and foremost.
Not because they said, woo, we beat Brady Street.
That team needs to find a way to win an important game.
If you have any emotional investment into the Patriots, you wouldn't like it either.
Should Marvin Lewis be on the hot seat at all?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because the guy from
Jeff Hobson, he is every year.
No. Jeff Hobson says no. Like, he's fine. There is no issue.
Oh, I'm not saying he is on it, but he should be.
I mean, the guy has.
Well, you just said he is every year.
He should be.
Because of us talking
about it. We think
he
should be.
But he isn't. I'm talking about with Mike Brown.
As far as all that matters is the Bengals' ownership, and apparently he's not.
Right. And that's what Jeff Hobson told us, who's the us of there. So he has some insight.
The us of there.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. That's exactly right. Just a funny way of putting it. Cincinnati is pretty good defensively. That's 19 in a row. They haven't allowed a 300-yard passer. I mean, 300 yards is not a lot nowadays.
That's significant, you know, though.
The year, it was all about the 400s, the new 300.
Exactly.
You know, that's not a lot nowadays. 300 is pretty commonplace.
Right.
To go 19.
It is for the Patriots.
19
offense.
Straight games that's... when you're playing Brady, Rodgers. You know, and just in the last couple of weeks, I mean, in his division, he's got obviously Roethlisberger and Flacco, who are certainly capable of that. But Brady and Rodgers in the first 5 weeks of the season, and they still haven't allowed.
That's significant.
And by the way, all of their guys were out. All of their starting defensive backs were hurt. Yeah.
And their best pass rusher.
You know, well, his backup was the best pass rusher in the day, Gilberry. But
yeah, I don't think Solder played very well. You were sort of defending him.
He was terrible.
I don't think he was bad.
No, but every time there was a bad play, everyone
he was involved.
No.
He couldn't get open in the end zone. He couldn't protect us.
He was going to include that in the read and react. But
I didn't think anybody would be in like the joking mood.
It wasn't a day to joke.
Dave in Tewksbury, the reporting done on Gronk this year has been by far the worst I've ever seen in my 31 years of living. All this talk of, one, he's cleared to play when he was cleared. Two, the odds on if he will play, 40% chance of playing, 60% chance of playing. Three, involving his family and how in sync he is with the team staff. It's all BS to me and really reminds me that people don't look at athletes as other human beings. Why has no one reported on what it means to be cleared to play? When you break a bone and it heals, it is never the same and now always easier to break in the future. That's not true, is it?
Not true.
So to say he's cleared to play, does that mean that the bone is fully healed? Maybe he could curl 60 pounds on that arm before the break, and now he's cleared but can only curl 40 pounds. Well, I wouldn't want to come back till I could curl 80 pounds because the only thing protecting my arm is the muscle around it, which I lost while my arm was in a cast for 3 months. There are a lot of factors that can be reported on this, but the media only seems to do the easy reporting and dehumanize him, which I find is horrifying.
I don't even get it,
says David.
Well, I'll say this. I don't know why, after you spent the whole email completely trashing all the reports about Gronkowski, that you're believing this one, that he is just now hopefully being medically cleared to play. Suddenly, you're deeming that as the one that you're taking as gospel? And I would suggest that if you think that the coverage of this was bad, only read the Boston Herald's coverage of Rob Gronkowski, because they have yet to have one thing wrong yet.
Twice in that sentence.
It's been dead on since the injury occurred. And if he were to play this week, they would have nailed it. Let's put
it
that way.
I'm not sure it's dead on the whole time. There was a short stint there where they were alluding to like week 3-4.
That people in Foxborough were hopeful, but they kept sticking to their timetable that it was going to be more along the lines of 6 weeks. Week two, it was there was whispers in Foxborough that were hopeful that he could be back for week two.
That's because they had the guy who made the decision, Gordy. Apparently, all along,
could be.
That's what is Gordy a doctor of, like, muscle and fitness? Doesn't he like own a gym or something?
Maybe now, Gordy is Gronkowski's.
Maybe
father.
He's the doctor who's going to clear him.
But for the most part, there was one.
That
report.
Guy was ridiculous, by the way. Though I don't care what the definition of cleared is. If the team doctor clears him, he's cleared to play.
Yeah, and I would say
I don't need to necessarily know the exact. milestones he had to achieve.
And they were telling us that he was taking hits in practice. That, to me, he was cleared. That means that he was cleared to play. I'm sorry.
Mike in London.
Yeah, but now they are telling us that he wasn't cleared right to play. They're hoping he's cleared
to play. We don't know who they was.
That's true.
But, really, there was only one report,
if they
right?
exist, because right. you think 50%
of sources are made up.
But wasn't there only one report, and that was Ben Volans, that said he was going to play before the Atlanta game?
Yes.
Yes.
Didn't everybody else every week, so toward the end of
well,
the week,
everyone
saying,
else
it doesn't
people.
Look like...
The Herald and ESPN said no.
And Pro Football, Talk?
But they took it from ESPN.
No. Okay. Pro Football Talk has been reporting along the way, and they had a report early that before Volan said he was playing, Pro Football Talk said he wasn't.
No, that's right.
Unlikely.
Now, this is
he was unlikely to play.
But I thought that was based on ESPN.
No.
No, because I'll tell you, there's a stake in Pro Football Talk close to Gronkowski.
During the reporting of that, they didn't say he wasn't cleared to play. They said it was he was unlikely to play.
Unlikely.
This is the first time cleared has come up.
Yes.
Since.
That's why when you said it, I said that's significant.
It stinks.
Using those words means something. Words mean something.
Smells like you when you ran out during the first break.
Oh, no. No.
What?
It's what I was trying to avoid.
John, you're in extra early because of the, little extra nitpick.
I think there are one or two nitpicks to talk about today.
Okay.
You going to be nitpicking Brady? A lot of fans are.
What about John Farrell? You can
frankly,
do a whole show on
yes.
that.
Oh.
Fans not happy with Brady. The problem, not the solution.
Mike in London, Ontario. Love the show. Thanks for making my workdays more entertaining. After the team's offensive difficulties this weekend, I can't stop thinking about something Paul said in the offseason.
It always works out for the offense.
I may have the phrasing incorrect, but in regards to Welker, Paul said something like, I think anyone can make the catches he makes. To his credit, Paul has shifted his stance on Welker in recent weeks. That said, we're five games into the season now, and I'm just wondering when anyone is going to start making the catches Welker made. I know it's too early to push the panic.
Not just making the catches.
I know it's too early to push the panic button on these receivers, but it's harder to feel optimistic every week. The Patriots are among the league leaders in drops, and even the routine catches they hold on to are bobbled. They're still running the wrong routes. They aren't getting separation. Meanwhile, Welker has as many touchdown receptions this year as the Patriots receivers combined. I know the rookies will improve.
Andy's rooting for him to break the touchdown reception record.
I know the rookies will improve, but it's hard to feel optimistic with the direction the offense is going. I'm not sure that even a fully healthy Gronk can fix the Patriots' offensive woes. Please, someone tell me I'm wrong at 4-1. I'm not out on the ledge yet, but I'm sitting on the window looking out.
I'm going to tell you you're wrong because I didn't retract my statement on Welker at all. I still think that anybody can make those catches.
Just nobody that's employed by the Patriots.
No, I'm talking about the catches that Welker makes.
There's guys dropping balls left and right on this team at all levels.
I don't think anybody can go downfield and make catches that Calvin Johnson makes.
No, you see, Welker made a lot of – I know he made a lot of short little dumpy catches, but he also made a lot of really hard catches.
I think I've seen Tompkins drop a number of balls right across the middle that Welker would have caught.
Edelman
and Amendola and Bolden.
There was a pass at Manning through Welker on Sunday. That was inside the five that Welker had to contort his body to catch, and because of it, couldn't get into the end zone.
I think
but
Edelman has made catches
catch
like
by
that
Welker.
This year.
Oh, what?
I think Edelman has made catches like that.
So
this
he has.
Year.
So has Amendola.
And I don't think he's as good as Welker. But I think he's made similar kind of catches. When you catch a
he's
lot
so
of short.
Stubborn. But they're hard catches, Paul. They're
and they've made them.
Right.
I think anybody could make them. That's all I'm saying. They're short catches.
I don't know.
Down
man.
The field, that's,
not
that's a different story. A much
not
higher
anybody.
Degree. Much higher degree of difficulty down the field.
Ryan in Sudbury, Ontario, a few big problems.
You pick out like one catch. I mean, when I say that anybody...
There's been a lot of drops
like,
under 15 yards
I don't mean
year.
Like every single play. And Welker has dropped a lot this
Some.
Year. Have you watched?
Not as many as these guys have.
Yeah.
So he's less than 50% on catches? Because that's going to be where Campbell
minute,
Tompkins
but,
is.
But you're saying these guys, like I'm talking about Edelman and Amendola, guys that are catching the same type of passes that Welker is catching.
Well, see, I think Tompkins runs a lot of underneath routes and drops a lot of underneath routes. I think those are the same types of passes.
You think a lot of his drops have been little short dumps?
I think a good portion of them have been, across the middle and within 10 to 12 yards.
I don't know about that.
I haven't seen that many.
I have. I think he stinks.
I
hate
think
to be
that.
Harsh. He can't catch. Even when he catches it, it's
double,
on the rebound.
Double catch. He had one go right off his chest plate the other day.
I don't know what it is.
Rebound.
And somebody asked me, can you fix it? Yes, you can get better at it. You know, they have a lot of, especially today in modern science, all that like eye-hand stuff they
right.
do with those centers with
right.
balls that bounce weird ways, dots on the... But it's never going to be natural. You either have that or you don't, in my opinion. He can get a lot better, and he needs to. But I'm not sure you can do that during the year.
What was that?
I thought he was going to make fun of Bo.
Bold prediction. I didn't know if I wanted to say hot sports take or bold prediction. I'm going to go with bold prediction. Aaron Dobson ends up being the better player between he and Tompkins.
Oh, it absolutely better be that way.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, why? I mean,
because you spend a second-round pick on one.
I understand, but
that's drafted six rounds higher.
That means that you thought one guy was a lot better than the other. So you better be right.
No, you don't have to be. I'm just saying the way it's going to turn out. I mean, Tompkins could surprised everyone.
I think Tompkins could be out of football
in 3 years. I've said that since the first day.
Because they're going to stop throwing it to, he's going to get Brandon Lloyd. You know, we stuck with you and we invested with you for 1 year, but at some point we realize you're not that good and we're going to invest that opportunity elsewhere.
Yeah, Fred, and I get your point. Like, if Tompkins turns out to be like a great receiver, he's a perennial all pro, it doesn't matter that you thought Dobson was going to be a second rounder and this guy's undrafted. But I think we're being a little bit more realistic. We think that the ceiling there is not that high.
But I think a lot of people are writing Dobson off. He shouldn't. He'll be.
I don't think anybody's writing Dobson.
I think he's going to be okay.
I also think Dobson has maybe made more plays and certainly made more traditional plays. Like the one that he just missed, was that the Jets game? The second one down the right where Brady just missed him.
Right.
You know, like I think he's shown the ability. Even yesterday, he made a nice catch and run and gets down the field.
And
like,
then fumbles it.
By
the way, when he fumbled, the ball popped up, I just burst out laughing.
I heard.
Press box.
But like, you know, Tompkins' big play, the 49-yard or whatever last week.
It was a fluke.
It went through his hands, bounced off a safety, and then he caught it. I've seen more potential in Dobson's playmaking, I guess.
There have been there have been fewer of them, fewer opportunities, but there have been more instances where I looked at a completion to Dobson and said, oh, that's how it looked when it went to Lloyd last year.
Right.
Or that's how it looked when it went to Branch in years past. Like the fourth down play to Tampa Bay. It was like fourth and three on the, you know, from like the 40. It's a quick little 5-yard out. He was wide open, caught the ball on the sideline, first down.
Right.
That's the way it's supposed to work. I've seen Branch make that catch a million times. I've seen Troy Brown do that a million times.
I still say retire the 85.
I don't see those with Tompkins a lot, where I say, oh, that play looked familiar.
85 is cursed.
Except for when he's like falling down endlessly and, you know,
losing control
of his body.
Four guys who've worn 85 have really, it's been bad.
It has been bad.
Hernandez, Johnson, Lloyd, and Tompkins. Retire the jersey. It is
But I still want to see Josh Boyce.
Oh, hell yeah.
Phil in Nova Scotia. Ever since the NFL started using pink penalty flags last Thursday, the wife and I have been having a real nasty Paul and Fred type fight. I started ranting about them being a horrible idea, and she countered with saying it's not a big deal at all, which really set me off. It got to the point where I said that if I was a player or coach, I would ignore them, and she went as far as to say that I'm an insensitive caveman woman hater. Well, I see that the NFL has agreed with me, and they have discontinued their use, so this week has turned out to be a win after all. Suck it, Chantel. Wow.
Wow.
Now, does he mean that literally? Or figuratively?
Is that right? The NFL is
yeah, they're
like,
not
going to
use pink penalty flags anymore.
But it wasn't only meant to be 1 week?
No. Well, it's supposed to be this month, but the reason is guys' towels drop,
right,
and you don't know if it's the flag or a towel.
So it is confusing.
It happened.
The whole idea of the penalty flag
the Jets game
is to be obvious,
right?
And it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't actually think it's just the towel, but like the cleat. There's a lot of pink flashes, and that it was confusing.
Yeah. Joel and Merrimack. Wow, that was a seriously ugly game. The thing is, even though the Bengals tried their best to give us the game, we were inept to take it. The Pats did not deserve to win the game, and neither did the Bengals. I give kudos to the defense. They played well. The offense had one of its most horrific days I've seen in the last 10 years. You have to give a lot of credit to the Bengals' defense. I still wonder why Belichick didn't challenge the Amendola non-touchdown. At that point in the game, it was worth wasting a timeout. Here's my question. Why we are 5 games into the season, are we who they thought we were?
Who's they?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He specifically says, who they thought we
were? I vehemently disagree with challenging that play.
Oh, he was no way that was a touchdown.
But that's not my point, because I'm going to give the emailer a benefit of the doubt and say, well, you didn't really have a chance to see it in super slow motion like that, to see that he wasn't in. But to me, the timeout was far more valuable. You had the ball inside the 1 yard line on first down. There's no reason to believe that you can't get it in from there. You have to be able to get it. The timeout. They were still, even if they scored a touchdown, they were still down. They needed those timeouts. They were going to have to use them potentially on defense. And by the way, they would have had to use all 3 of them on defense had Bernard not fumbled. because they were grinding out the clock. That game was over when he fumbled because it didn't look like the Patriots were going to stop them.
Right.
You know, that was a terrible fumble in that situation. You can't. It was like the guy from Arizona last year. Was it Ryan Williams?
Right.
For Spikes, Arizona?
Spikes knocked the ball out.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan
Williams.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, a terrible fumble in time and, you know, time and play. You just in a spot where you absolutely can't fumble it. You have one hand on the ball, and it was a good hit by McCourty, but yeah. it shouldn't cause a fumble. Just like I think I'm not taking Blunt off the hook. It was a good play by Dunlap to strip it, but you can't lose the ball.
No.
You cannot lose the ball in that play.
Hugh in London.
Laurie?
What's that?
Hugh Laurie. Isn't that the guy from London?
Hugh Laurie?
Guy from Fox.
I'm sure there's a lot of Hughes
House.
From London.
The House. Dr. House.
Oh.
You never watched House?
No. Hugh Grant? Isn't he
Is
from
he
London?
From London?
Well, he's from England. I know that.
And he likes black prostitutes.
Oh.
As John Rook continues to shake his head and ignore us.
Whilst watching the Bengals.
Can't believe I'm following up these guys.
I had a once promising career. What happened?
Hugh says, whilst watching the Bengals game with my housemate, he kept saying how bad Brady's protection from the O-line was. My housemate is a Raiders fan. This was a new low for me.
We also haven't talked about the curious decision to take the ball, Fred. Did you have an issue with that?
A lot of people noticed that the Patriots didn't defer.
We suddenly have a defense and no offense, and we want the ball.
Yeah, I'm not sure if, you know, you're looking for that one possibly extra possession because you really thought you were going to need it. I don't know. It's interesting.
It just makes
a lot
no
of factors.
Sense.
Bill said
it makes
way,
no sense to me.
Yeah.
That when you have a good defense and a struggling offense, that you would do it that way. It would seem to be the other way around, and they always did it. You know, they would always defer when they had the great offense and the suspect
right.
defense.
I know you didn't know this necessarily going in that it was going to be a hideous game, but late in that game, I actually felt better when the Bengals had the ball. I thought there was a chance the defense could make a play
before
that
they fumbled.
I know
Andy,
that feeling, Andy.
And I'm thinking,
Andy
how far we've come.
Andy I know said that feeling.
And I don't think it was on that very last drive that they fumbled, but Andy actually made that comment. Like, I think it might have even still been 6-3.
It might have been.
And I think it was that drive that they went on. You know, Andy's like, you know, I almost feel better with the defense on the field.
I do.
And
like, maybe they can make a play.
I know you guys laugh at me, but I get that feeling 0-3 when – you just knew the Patriots defense was going to make the stop. So when it was 13-3 or whatever, you really weren't worried about the other team getting back in it because you had confidence in the defense. You know, here they didn't have the lead, but you felt a lot more confident about the defense than you did the offense.
See, but, I had a 2003 feel. I thought the game was over at 13-3. I never thought the Patriots – now, obviously, you know, you still had plays – much like in 2003, the other team still had plays.
Right.
But I never, ever thought the Patriots were going to score.
You want to continue the comparisons, Paul. The last time the Patriots punted this much was 2003. Mm-hmm. They had 88 punts, I believe, and Ryan Allen is on pace for 96
punts. By the way, looking okay.
Yeah. He punted well.
We're not missing Mesko at this
point. It's a lot of practice.
Yeah.
Certainly not rusty.
Other than off the field, we're not missing Mesko.
And the 2003 team was also very injury-plagued, much like this team is. Remember?
Oh. Yes,
we wrote them
two.
Off. I wrote them off. I shouldn't say we. I should say I. I wrote them off and said they should prepare for the draft. This team has a lot of injuries.
At
so
2-2.
And we all know what happened with that team. They never lost again, and they won a Super Bowl. I say there's 0.0 chance of that happening this year.
It sounded like one of those like FDIC like disclaimers at the end of a commercial.
Yes. In actuality, I believe they're going to lose this week.
Todd says, question. Was this a classic road Belichick loss, extremely conservative on both sides of the ball until late and tried to win it at the end? Is that a classic Belichick loss?
I don't understand what was conservative about them. I mean, we had some complaints that they didn't run the ball.
I mean,
ball
they didn't go downfield a lot,
but they never
they
do.
Don't do that this year, you know?
But, I mean, people have complained they didn't run the ball enough. They got away from the run in the second half, only ran it 6 times. They got a turnover at the end of the game and got the ball around with the 45-yard line. First play, they went to the end zone, right?
Yeah.
And Dobson was covered like a blanket down the sideline. It was a really good play by, was it Kirkpatrick?
I don't know.
Really good defensive play by the corner on that side. Knocked the ball away. I don't think there was anything conservative about the game plan. Did you?
Not necessarily, no.
I mean, it was a low-scoring rock fight, but I think that's because the defenses were the better units
on
the
field. You can't say they were too conservative, and then on the other hand say they didn't run the ball enough.
Well, that's part of what I'm saying. People have complained that they didn't run the ball enough.
Right. I also think when you don't have weapons, you look conservative.
Right.
Playmakers are needed to make plays.
You know, those big plays happen when you open it up. When you bait them, because and then you open it up with the big play. And
you're not baiting them if you're never achieving anything.
Right.
Well, that's
right.
But, you know, part of people were complaining that the second down play, they ran a play action pass. Well, you haven't really established anything on the run, you know, on the ground. So who are you trying to fool? What are you trying to freeze on that second play? But
they're a team that passes on second down. We talked about that earlier. Maybe they're trying to use their own percentages, whatever.
It wasn't second and 10.
What?
It wasn't second and 10.
No, I know, but I don't know what the, you know, I just don't like to criticize the play call. To me, it gets down
to Josh.
It's so boring. Well, no, it's execution. You big plays come when you execute and make big plays. Big playmakers make big plays. They're not executing, and they don't have playmakers.
They don't have anybody right now that can make plays. Hopefully Gronk comes back, and there's your playmaker. But
well, just hopefully he's cleared first.
Still not going to have a lot of chances to make huge plays down the field.
That's why we want Boyce on the field.
That's why
Boyce control to Major Tom.
All right, well, we have a ton of emails that we didn't get to, but John Rook is here with the playbook, and he surely will. Right, John?
Fred, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. We'll get to as many of them as humanly possible.
Yep. So,
he just knocked his hat off.
He just lost
Thank you very much. I just lost my head.
But the headlights are still on.
The headlights are definitely on. High beams are on. We're ready to roll.
All right. Well, we got a lot of fans.
Nitpick.
Patriots Nation is searching for answers, and you're going to give them to them.
I'm going to give them at least what I think the answers might be, and I'm not sure that anybody's going to be really ready to hear what I have to say.
Uh-oh.
Trade Brady.
Uh-oh.
He's going to trade Brady. I got to go listen.
Uh-oh. We're getting ready for an historic.
Brady?
Or as they say on TV, you know, for a very special Patriots.
Brady playbook. For Brian Hoyer and Josh Gordon.
We may be ready. We may be ready to rewrite the playbook today.
All right.
Wow.
That's coming up. And then at 4 o'clock,
that's a hot sports
champs.
That's a tease right there. Stick around.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.